All right, do we want to move on to Call of Duty? Kyle's been sitting here
Let's do it.
patiently.
Let's do
I
it.
All
must.
right, Call
Call of
of
Duty.
Duty.
So, Advanced Warfare. We haven't really covered some of the latest map packs. I think Call of Duty, people aren't getting the map packs if you aren't a hardcore player and you're playing multiplayer a lot. But they do add value to the game, which is some of the different mechanics they add. Obviously, Havoc was the first one that came out that added zombies, which everyone wanted to begin with,
Yep.
but it did add zombies.
Remember when those were part of the base game?
Yeah, well,
It just
that's,
showed up.
they were part of
paywalls.
Treyarch's base game, so
The good
Sledgehammer
ones.
is catching up. But they have been adding to maps. I know in Ghosts, they had a couple maps in the DLC where instead of getting a Maniac kill streak, you could get the Predator on the Aztec map, and you could get Michael Myers on the Swamp map. So they've been adding small things like that in Ghosts. And then Advanced Warfare, for the first DLC, they added some maps that would change mid-map. There are a couple like domination maps that physically change the entire map mid-map
Oh
that
my
were part of the
gosh.
base game. But
Levolution and COD?
yeah, these were just some smaller stuff. Like Drift has an avalanche that cuts off a third of the map midway through. That just,
Oh my
if you're on that
gosh.
side, you get killed by the avalanche, and then it just covers everything in snow.
Gotcha.
Sideshow has a clown in the middle that is just
I like clowns.
hawking old school bombs in the middle of the map that you can pick up and throw at your enemies and blow them up. Urban is just a really small city map that opens up. About another third of it will open up mid-map that people can go through. And then Core is just a standard map. And then for the second DLC, Ascendance, that added another zombies experience. That one's a lot more complex than the original one because there's
Yeah.
several areas that you can
And
go
a
to.
shout out to Burger Town, am I correct?
Yes.
Burger Town
Yes.
is in it, and they do
Love
actually
Burger Town.
they force you out of specific areas at times. So
Okay.
they have these rounds called infections rounds, where if you get hit by a zombie, you become infected. You have to
Can
sort of
you
cleanse
beat
yourself.
zombie mode in this iteration
My
of it?
friends have gotten past 30 and haven't beaten it. You
Okay.
couldn't beat the first one either. You could do an Easter egg to see the original plane that was supposed to pick you up go down, but there
Okay.
wasn't an actual, hey, you've beat this, you're
Come on,
done.
Kyle. Spoiler alert
Okay.
that.
Well, look at that Easter
Spoilers.
egg
There
online and
is
tell
no
me you're going to do it.
spoiler.
It's
But
been
that's
out
the most
long enough.
ridiculous
Yeah.
Easter egg I've ever seen in my life to complete to get that taken care of. So, but yeah, it added, so you can't just hang out in Burger Town because eventually they'll toxic waste that entire area, push you
Boo.
to other parts of the map to make it a lot harder. And eventually they pretty much toxic everything except the underground area.
You got to get that burger to go.
So they're basically trying to kill you.
Well,
But in terms of the maps itself, Ascendance added grappling. It's only for the four Ascendant maps. It swaps your number one exo ability with a grapple. The maps were specifically designed for you to jump around and grapple onto stuff. There's a few map changes as well. Climate, the water turns into like toxic gas or like lava type thing mid-map that if you walk in it you end up dying. So that's where this is one of those where the maps were made for grappling, so without the grapple playlist, parts of it can get annoying because there's a part of that map that becomes toxic that you can't really double jump over. So
Oh.
you end up taking damage trying to clear that anyways, whereas if you have the grapple, you just grapple up to the fixture by it. There are some issues on maps with grappling where you can exploit the maps. I know on Climate itself, on one of the sides, you can actually grapple up to the ceiling and chill on some high rocks that are difficult to kill people on.
Oh.
And then in terms of uplink, where you're trying to, it's basically basketball in it. One of the uplinks, you can grapple behind the actual uplink thing and just grapple your way right through the point to get the, because you get 2 points for jumping it through with your character and one for throwing it. So it kind of makes it cheap that you can just grapple from, you know, a quarter of the way across the map and just sort of slide right through for those
Yeah.
extra points on that
What
one.
are the maps going for these days? Is it $15 a pop?
It's 15.
Okay.
I do the season pass to start with because I know I'm going to get them
Save,
all
yeah,
anyway, so
save
you
the
save the
$10.
money. But like I said,
What?
these are only for hardcore people that put a lot of hours
Right,
in it.
but like what, I mean, what's your guys's just round table quick, like what's your history with Call of Duty? Did you ever play it? Were you ever into it? When did you leave it, you know?
Yeah, I played it a ton. Modern Warfare was one of my favorite games, like
Yeah.
hands
Yeah.
down.
Yeah.
God, the first one was so good.
Yeah, so I loved the first game, loved the story, played it with you guys. And then I wasn't thrilled with World at War. I felt like I'd played it before, kind of.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, that's the one that introduced zombies. Did you like the
And
zombies?
I'm not a huge zombie guy. Like,
Okay.
I liked it, but I was not. I do remember that they introduced that. And I felt like Modern Warfare 2 is fine. I don't know what it was that just, I felt like I was playing the same game
It
over and
was
over.
a nice upgrade to the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Modern Warfare 2 to me is my favorite game. I think I loved the first one, but the second one just stuck out a little bit more because of the fact that you could dual wield like certain powerful guns. I just always ran around with the SCAR and the SPAZ. I mean, I know a lot of people chose that for a while, and they patched it out, I think, midway through.
Sure.
But going up to those, I think you said it was like Black Ops where you stopped.
Yeah, so I played Black Ops, and I liked it. My brother played it a ton, and I played with him. But I felt like, again, I felt like I was playing kind of the same game over and over again. And I feel like, I don't know. I never played Black Ops 2.
Right, well, you know, as it evolved, obviously there's a bigger focus on multiplayer map packs and less on that campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played the first one, which I really, really enjoyed. I really liked
the World War II one?
No, the Call of Duty.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I really liked Modern Warfare. I really liked World at War. I actually think I preferred World at War to any of the other ones just for the zombie mode alone. Hmm. Also, the flamethrowers. Come on, guys.
Yeah, that was also a very nice addition.
And also, I think it was probably the best setting, personally. I'm just so tired of decaying urban areas.
Right.
Oh, it's somewhere in the Middle East, or it's another favela. Like, it's cool, but like, Hollywood has already shown us the three sets we'll ever see in Call of Duty, and I'd like something a little fresh.
And that's the reason for the drop-off, is they didn't sort of push it fast enough. Like, Modern Warfare changed the game from the traditional World War II. Modern Warfare 2 and Modern Warfare 3 were sort of similar gameplay. Yeah. They just tweaked a few things. Yeah, same with Black Ops and Black Ops 2.
Because they didn't just bring it modern with 4. They also completely changed the whole gameplay mechanics.
Yep.
Everything about it shifted.
And my personal experience, I mean, I started with the PC game, the original Call of Duty, and loved that single-player campaign, and the multiplayer was good fun, too. Definitely got into the World War 2 one, the initial Call of Duty on the consoles. And obviously was a fan of the first Modern Warfare, but then it kind of lost me with like Modern Warfare 3 and Black Ops 2. And I thought the first Black Ops was a great story and thought it was cool how it tied into World at War. But I mean, it's just fatigue, kind of like with Assassin's Creed and other annual franchises. Like, they're just sticking to kind of near future events. I mean, why not go all the way and do like some sort of space age one, or go back to World War 2 before the other series beat them to it? It's like, what can they do, or what would kind of could anything bring any of you back to Call of Duty?
For me, it would have to be another complete like paradigm shift, like, like 4 was. To be perfectly honest, they've almost soured me on most mainstream first person shooters that aren't aren't driven by a single player story.
And I agree with that point.
And here's the thing, I feel like the real issue is the complete lack of gameplay innovation. I think that is all they need. Because if you look at something like Titanfall, the reason that that exploded so hugely was because it added a major change to the system. It added basically like minor parkour stuff with the jetpacks. Mm-hmm. It added the Titans, which were immediately ripped by Call of Duty with the exosuits in the next one. And, you know, now everything is the distant future now because of it. I mean, we need another one of these big game-changing FPSs to come out from not DICE and not Treyarch and not, you know, who's the new company that's doing
Sledgehammer?
Sledgehammer.
Yeah, and then there's the third year.
Yeah. And,
well, I think
Activision, Sledgehammer, and Treyarch.
Well, they were behind parts of
the original Modern Warfare and then the lawsuit and all that. But I think if developers, and I'm sure it's the publishers pushing them, but if they could just focus on making their own thing instead of worrying about something to compete with, you know, a recent release, you know, like you said, Advanced Warfare kind of aped a little bit out of Titanfall, you know, like instead of just focusing on their own game and creating their own innovative product, it's like they just ape each other in the first-person shooter genre especially. I mean, look at Halo now. Don't they have some sort of jetpack in the beta that was launched
or some sort of wall runner,
I don't know.
Didn't they have jetpacks in ODST?
They had jetpacks, I believe, but I mean now they have like the actual the kind of Call of Duty boost, I believe.
Oh, it uses that style of jetpack. Okay.
It's not as, at least from the beta, it's not as fun as Advanced Warfare in terms of using the boost, but Halo's always been a little bit slower of a shooter compared to Call of Duty. They're using the boost and adding the sprint to try and speed it up to catch up with these other first-person shooters, so we'll see.
Makes perfect sense.
You know how they could really speed it up? Bring it to something that can actually play FPSs properly, like a PC.
Yeah.
Look at this kid.
That would be nice. It would be a great switch.
Hey, man,
over.
I'm just saying, there's a reason that there's only two weapons in Halo, and it ain't because they have a plethora of buttons on that controller.
Well, and that's the other problem with that's going to be out with Halo 5 is there's not a lot of weapon variety either. Mm-hmm. You're picking up a battle rifle, you're picking up an assault rifle. You can name it whatever you want. It's going to shoot slightly differently, but yeah. It's going to be a battle rifle.
And that's one of my biggest concerns with modern FPSs, even ones that I adored, like Wolfenstein the New Blood. Incredibly boring weapon selection. What happened to, I want to throw fireballs. I want a BFG. Like, I want, what happened to the awesome creative gun designs? Now all we see
is Borderlands would be
got, it's literally SMG, assault rifle, usually some kind of heavy, like a minigun, flamethrower, rocket launcher, and then it's just shotgun, pistol. Done.
See, and Call of Duty's answer to that with these supply drops is just modifications of those. So you have your SMGs, and then you have, you know, your SMG that looks like a Tommy gun that gives you boosted fire rate and lower other stats. So they're not going full on, we're giving you all new weapons. They're just modifying the existing guns.
Which to me is kind of how you could describe the evolution of the Call of Duty series. They're not modifying the existing games. They're just putting them back out with new wrapper.
Then again, the argument there is that if it's not broken, don't fix it, right?
Yeah, people are still playing. It's still going to be a big seller every single year.
But remember that. Let's remember that popularity does not dictate quality.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But I do think Advanced Warfare was a really good reintroduction.
It was.
Oh, I think it was. It certainly pulled me back in. I mean, Ghost totally lost me. I had zero interest in Advanced Warfare. It did it. I went out and bought a copy of Call of Duty for the first time in years. But I think consumers are definitely, obviously you have the angry mobs on the internet, and that is effective to an extent. I don't know how accurate, because it's that loud minority, but you know, when you speak as a consumer with your wallet, I mean, it's starting to be heard by developers, but more so the actual producers of these games, because I mean, look at Assassin's Creed, like Unity. It sold well because of those pre-orders and everything, but like Ubisoft realized they had a big problem on their hand and they had to address it. And
it sold well because of Black Flag, because Black Flag was so good.
Yep.
And you wanted
the anticipation.
Yeah.
Well, and it also sold well because of season passes and pre-order culture.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. This isn't... Ubisoft shouldn't have shipped it, but it's your own damn fault if you pre-ordered the game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with Advanced Warfare...
I did not pre-order this game.
I might have.
You know you wanted to, though.
Oh, wait, no,
Henry
I didn't.
Just knows Max
I didn't.
Is closer,
I didn't.
So he's like...
I didn't. Never mind.
No, but, you know, I just think Advanced Warfare is the thing that definitely turned me around for the series, too, just like what we were saying. And I think bringing in those extra options is something that is kind of going to only pull a certain group of people in the future because they know how it will work. Well, there are just certain people that are outside of that range that don't want to pay extra regardless of what the game is going to give them.
I suppose, although I don't think that's necessarily what's driving people away. I guess I have a question for both of you, though. You guys both said Advanced Warfare reinvigorated the games for you, and I agree that Advanced Warfare was a step in the right direction, but did it actually reinvigorate the games for you? Are you still playing it? Are you planning to buy the next one because it was so good, or are you just saying it wasn't terrible?
I'm absolutely planning on buying Advanced Warfare. I still don't own it, but I've played it every single time I go back home and I'm at a friend's place. I think that I'm in more anticipation for the next game, especially because of this. But it's definitely a turning point only because Ghosts was just kind of weird, and I didn't like Black Ops 2 either. So it was right after, I think, Modern Warfare 3 that I lost the interest.
Sure.
And it was kind of just that thing that, okay, COD's still out there, whatever. You know, maybe one day they'll pick it back up and I'll be interested. And that's just that spark right now. I mean, the next game honestly could bomb, and that's fine with me. It's totally, you know, a flip-flop on that. But I would buy this game and continue my interest with it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, for me, the last one I actually bought was Black Ops. I played... 2 and Modern Warfare 3, neither of them really did it for me. My brother owned it, so I just was playing his copies every now and then. I mean, let's be honest, at the end of the day, I mean, there's some cool story mode stuff, but it's all about that multiplayer. And Ghost, just I haven't even played it yet. It did nothing for me, wasn't interested in it. I know they had that big, you know, the dog companion thing that just flopped, and it was just a goofy gimmick. But whatever it was, maybe it was just because I had stayed away from it for so long that, there's something just really appealing when I was seeing all the good press and the demos of, Advanced Warfare and that's what it's called, right? Yeah.
Yep.
We'll go with that. I mean, I picked it up, really liked it, thought it was cool. They brought zombies back, and, I'm still kind of turned off about, Black Ops 3, just because it's set, you know, still in the near future type thing.
And
so
that's the problem is when you have three different developers with three different development cycles, If they want to save it, they need to have three unique experiences come out. You can't just have them try and one-up each other. Advanced Warfare did this, so now Black Ops 3 has to do this. You need to come up with your own separate thing. So I think you'll see Black Ops 3, and then you might see Infinity Ward Activision do a reboot of 4,
right?
The original Modern Warfare 2, 3. I don't think they can stick with Ghost because Ghost wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But if you did a Master Chief Collection with the original Modern Warfare and then use that to give you a 6-year development cycle for your next game to come out with something more unique than what Treyarch or Sledgehammer's coming out with, that could be something that could potentially save it.
Yeah, question, very much so. Question for you as the big COD buff. You made the comparison, you were basically saying if they did a Master Chief Collection of mm-hmm. this. Would you really want to see a collection of the Call of Duty games? Are they actually genuinely, even as a fan, I'm asking this genuinely, are they really different enough, and especially as somebody who plays a lot of multiplayer, that you would actually give a crap about having every version?
It's the same thing with the
Halo
Master Chief Collection.
Halo made big changes
map,
in between.
It's totally map-based, not gameplay-based.
I don't know
based.
About that. Halo people 2 is the most popular online for a good reason.
But people want to play those old maps from Call of Duty. That's why these map packs keep selling. That's why they keep remaking specific maps. So the whole point is to give you the same shooting system that's worked for years now and put it right in those old school map systems.
The difference being, though, Halo does not have that same system. It has very different gameplay systems in every version of Halo.
Well, they had to, they had to go higher because you had the original on the Xbox and Halo 2 on the Xbox. You basically had to revamp Halo for the Xbox One. These are only just from the Xbox 360, so you're more talking about a
port
like
they did. Don't
they
go all the way
Halo
back
3.
To like 08?
Halo 3 was a port and
but Modern Warfare 4 was.
Yeah, but 06
they've
was
all,
when 360
the, Modern Warfare, the original, has been on 360. So
okay,
when the boom
sure.
hit, it was 360. So, like, Halo 3 is a port in Master Chief Collection. It's not a rebuild. They physically had to rebuild 1 and 2 in to make it work on an Xbox
right.
One, so that's why they're so different.
But also, those are more story-driven games, and also they have, like, differences, like, the way they do dual wielding. They added in special items. You can sprint in the new ones. They have jetpacks. I mean, these are much, much, much more fundamental and bigger changes than they make between the annual releases of
But to
COD.
Just answer your questions, I think people would buy it okay. for the original stories and to play those maps over again with the shooting system that Call of Duty's already done so well.
Sure. For me, what I would even like to see, and I've thought about this before, but if they could just make a collection of all the Call of Duty maps, update them, modernize them, make sure like all the weapons and different eras are all compatible and stuff, and you can play from whatever game you wish when you're in your online competitive modes, but then they could just, I
so
mean...
So kind of like COD China? That like
yeah,
the,
yeah,
so
but...
Sort of like what they did with...
right, but the same quality of the you know, the actual base games as far as... Because I feel like the China thing is a bit light in its... Is it not in the
I mean,
features
I think they're
and
using
the
assets
gameplay
and everything from
and
literally the
is
games
it?
In
okay.
question?
Yeah,
I mean,
if...
I think it might have a bit more of a mashed up thing because I think the whole point is they're marketing them as more free to play platforms.
Okay.
But my understanding is that they're using mostly the original assets.
Okay. But I mean, think how long they could milk that for if they had the multiplayer only available as purchase.
You mean what they're doing literally right now?
They are doing it literally right now, but just, you know, multiplayer only.
And then they parcel
and
out
everything,
map packs.
And then new ones come, and then you have all the guns and abilities from all the games just kind of jumbled together, and you pick your.
You
your
could
poison.
Honestly do like an online Call of Duty season pass where
yeah.
you have the core mechanic,
right.
update the maps every year, and then just have the publishers come up with their own single player story missions
okay.
on the side.
You guys are literally describing the status quo right now. That is what we have right now.
But they are different games. Like I'm just talking about, you pick one game's gameplay online. Like, you can't say Advanced Warfare and the original Modern Warfare play the same online. Not
I can
even,
say the shooting mechanics are the same.
The shooting's not the base part of it, though, because it's shooting,
the shooting
and
is the
movement.
Base part of the game.
But they've moved on to movement is the next thing.
They
so.
Do add just that mechanic, and that's what makes it a
I'll
little
that.
Different.
That's true.
So I think you could, if they, no one, they wouldn't do this because it wouldn't make them enough money, but you could take... You know, basically the same system from the original Modern Warfare 2 and 3, just that type of online shooting play,
sure.
and just redo the maps online and let the publishers do their own single player. They could do that, but that's not going to make as much money as having each publisher do their own full single player, multiplayer zombie every year. So I would prefer it if they did more of that season pass thing, because it's maps at this point. Maps, and they introduce movement, but it's still a shooter that you play for the shooting online. So if they could do that online system, I'd like it, but they're going to keep publishing games. So I'm just hoping that each publisher comes out with a unique experience that makes it warranted to move forward instead of just trying to one-up the next one.
Sure. Yeah. I'm curious, one last thing before we move on to the next topic. What do you think about map packs? I'm curious what you guys all think about map packs. Like, just really quick, my opinion on them is that I personally hate them. I think that they divide the community unnecessarily because the playlist pools are determined by what map packs you've purchased and what you don't have, and it can cause real issues with trying to play with friends. And it's just, it can be frustrating when they add new features to only certain maps, like this new grappling ability, which is neat and all, but I mean, if they're going to add a new feature to the game, I'd like it to be present on all maps. At least that's just me personally. So I'm just curious, what do you guys think about the map pack system?
I think they're only for the hardcore players that play a lot. I get where you're coming from, where it separates.
Well, what if I want to play with you, the hardcore player? What
they,
if we're friends?
They still let you play
together?
The original playlist, and they cut off the map. So when you join a party with someone, it says so-and-so doesn't have this DLC, you can't play those maps. With them, so you're not having a problem playing with people online. Mm-hmm. You still play the original from the base product. It's just a matter of the maps are for the people that want to keep feeding money into the system, keep playing on the different maps. So the game comes with plenty of maps to start with, and then it only adds four for each DLC. So I really only see map packs as for people who are hardcore players playing hours on end, prestiging over and over again. You don't have to if you don't want to. The grapple feature, you're not missing out on Advanced Warfare if you can't do the grapple Maj Pit playlist, because Advanced Warfare was changed with the movement itself, and grapple just adds on for this specific DLC. So I think map packs are just for a specific group of people. They're not really meant for everyone.
For me, starting with Battlefront 2 is kind of when I got into the map packs, and I guess, what, Halo 2 might have had some or no. I don't recall. It was a long time ago, but...
Yeah.
I mean, like, I always looked forward to, like, oh, what are they going to come out with next? And then there were those first Call of Duty games, and they had map packs, and it certainly wasn't expensive. And I feel like you got a little more bang for your buck. But for me, it kind of – I see it for what it is, you know, just that milking some more money, obviously.
Especially when they're just literally porting an old map
into
the new engine.
To be fair, some of those do come with
Nuketown.
The game. Nuketown.
Right.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's
Atlas Gorge and Advanced Warfare wasn't part of a DLC.
At the end of the day, it's an incentive to pre-order and get more money, and I see that. But at the same time, you know, what's $15 at the end of the day to just? I mean, if
a quarter the price of a game like The Witcher.
Yeah, you can definitely argue that in comparison to the game price, it is a little bit too steep in that sense, and that's why I go for the season pass over than just like getting segmented. But yeah, it's just kind of hard to delegate what's the correct format.
And at the end of the day, everyone just has to kind of decide for themselves, you know, if you don't like the DLC form.
Before we forget, there was a way that you could get new maps for years, and it was called downloading them for free, and users could make
them too. Which is Grand Theft Auto Online, right?
It's not just Grand Theft Auto Online. It's Counter-Strike. It's Counter-Strike Source. It's the old Call of Duty games. It's everything up to 4 when they switched over to all dedicated servers.
Really anything on PC with modding.
It's and anything that even has any kind of construction set of any kind, it blows my mind that they took away the players' tools so that they could make more money on something that the players could do themselves.
You know what?
For free.
The people that did it right, because I get at the end of the day, it's all about making money for a lot of these companies. They need to get some sort of profit.
You can't justify it just by saying they're making money.
Oh, I'm not saying that they're making money so it's justified, but I mean at the end of the day these are companies looking to make money.
Well, not only
hold up just a second. The way Borderlands did it and they were kind of the driving force behind this is that one person had to have the DLC, and to be fair, in their like defense, they gave you a ton of content for a pretty minimal price.
And but DLC is not a map pack.
Absolutely, right.
All.
But if the people creating these map packs did what Borderlands did, where if one person in the party had purchased the content, everyone had access to it as long as they played with those people, it would totally eliminate the issues with, you know, keeping this content locked behind a wall. It's a free demo, you know, it's probably going to urge these people to buy it instead of forcing them to buy it just so they can play with their friends. Because like what Kyle said is like, you know, it says so-and-so doesn't have the map pack. Well, let them play with the people that do. It's not like they can access it on their own and you know, scam the system.
Right. I like that. I think that's a great
thing. They are getting a little bit better in that they're adding zombie modes on top of map packs. Like, you used to be able to just have maps. They are adding zombie experiences, which, to be frank, I've played hours of zombies on the newest zombies. So $15 for a couple hours of playing zombies with your friends is worth it to me.
I get that, but you're totally ignoring the fact that zombies used to be included. Like, included. You didn't have to have it bundled into a map pack to make the map pack worth it. The base game had zombies.
Yeah, there's just nothing that you can do about it, though, anymore. And that's what I get the frustration.
Is. Like, don't buy
there
it.
Is. You don't buy the game. It. Is yeah. right. You're, or you you're don't buy the map packs. Or you don't pay for that pre-order, the, you know, the season pass, especially when you don't know what you're getting.
But what I think it comes down to, and you, we've mentioned this before in the other podcast, is that games are $60, and they've been $60 since, I mean, I can't remember the last game I purchased.
360.
Yeah, since three. So,
the original next gen kicked it from 50 to 60.
Yeah, and so, and at the same time, these games are getting more expansive. And then you have to think on top of that, and what you mentioned, Henry, is that Call of Duty advertises a ton.
Yeah, so there's marketing is insane.
Yeah, so I think with these, and this is not just Call of Duty, this could be Evolve, this could be Mortal Kombat, what they found is with multiplayer, in some sense, it's almost peer pressure. It's, hey, I have the map pack, and, you know, I have Goro, and I have, you know, the Evolve suits or whatever. I think they've figured out, especially because that's usually their moneymaker, their kind of tentpole franchise, we need to get the most money out of the multiplayer players. Okay.
But there was a time, there was a time when business ethics and good business practices meant something, when predatory business practices were actually frowned upon. Nowadays, with the advent of the App Store and things like that, every other game that you play is trying to exploit you for more money after you've already invested in it.
I totally
to
agree
be fair, they are giving you a new experience on top of what they're already providing you. Like,
no, you are, you and your friends are giving yourselves a new experience. They're not creating that experience, especially when they're just rehashing classic maps or recreating Burger Town. I mean,
But it's Burger Town.
I mean, I think at the end of the day,
more memorable for some than others.
So yeah. I think for most people to justify it, they say, well, I'm going to spend this much on Call of Duty, right?
Look,
I'm going to
spend your money however you want. To be clear, I'm not saying that no one should ever buy map packs. I'm just saying that I think, in general, map packs are not a good thing.
It's the only, it's the way they keep interest in the game going throughout the year, because their options are either make money on it or give it out for free and don't make money on it, but they need something throughout the year to keep people interested, because people do lose interest after those
months. There are plenty of ways to monetize the game besides
that. Well, I think that just speaks to how maybe weak the formula can be, because, like, you know, boy, if we don't get people going along all year with the DLC, then are they going to buy the next game? But for me, I feel that franchise
it's an annual
fatigue.
Game. Do they need to keep selling games? Honestly, they can sell their original.
Well, see, my
you'd be
thing
surprised
is
how quickly people drop off of these games. They don't.
Why.
They don't last a year without help.
No, and that's usually because of the fact, though, that they announce there's going to be a new
right.
game.
Right.
That
if,
is
like
if they
like
stop
for me
that production.
When Battlefield 4 came out, it had its problems. They fixed them. I still play the game and enjoy it. But I was so disappointed when all of a sudden you hear about the next Battlefield game coming out, and it's like give us some time to enjoy this, level up all the way, unlock everything. Like,
and
give us a couple years, make us want another one.
And at the time that Hardline was announced, Battlefield 4 still wasn't even working online.
Right.
So that was the real issue, and that's why they delayed it a year.
What do you think about advertising games? What if you had advertisements within a
No, some games have tried it.
No,
like,
absolutely not.
I know, I think one of the Splinter Cell games, at least in the online mode, they put in some in-game billboards.
Yeah.
I mean, mobile obviously does it. It just breaks that immersion. It feels forced. It feels like, hey, you know, we're sellouts. Like, go get this.
And at the end of the day, I feel like some people are...
You know what it is, though? The Ubisoft games are what do it. Like, Rainbow Six Vegas, now that I think about it, like, that game was full of ads. And that was a great game. And it's just, you know...
Such a good game.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do it right, it's a way to...
I don't know that they did it right, though. I think they were just... It felt like, hey, we're selling out. We're shoving some advertising content in there.
Although,
you're still paying...
I've got an example.
If you don't pay sticker price, if you don't pay $60 for it, fine, advertise all you want.
I've got a good one. Here's how you do it. Product placement. Did you guys play Pikmin 2? That has the best product placement of anything I've ever seen. When I got to go loot a Duracell battery, I laughed so hard.
I did not know that.
Love that. They have real brand names for the little items that you have to collect in that game. And it felt way more natural anyways than seeing some made-up Japanese spoof brand that I don't get the joke anyway, like, regardless.
But, I mean, for you, I mean, let's say you see, I'm trying to think of what
was
even in Splinter Cell.
Well, if I saw a Coke vending machine instead of, like, some splurge pun, Well, no, but I mean, that's just savvy consumers not responding to advertising, and that's just like a normal endemic problem.
No, the other thing too is Grand Theft Auto probably wouldn't garner ads because people wouldn't want their brand. Certain people wouldn't want their brand associated with what happens in Grand Theft Auto.
Exactly, and yeah. I think that Grand Theft Auto handles it well with the made up.
Yes,
ads and
they're
like
very
that.
Funny.
It's,
yeah,
and that's kind of key to it since it's supposed to be like a kind of Hollywoodish spoof.
So it's a full satire. Yeah,
and the only reason why I bring it up with Call of Duty is it wouldn't work with, let's say, Fallout. Right, it would be ridiculous. Maybe there's some products that were around then, but
we don't need to keep paying for games after development. You keep paying for them if they are continuing development. Developing map packs to make more money. They don't need that money. They
but what if
don't
you got,
develop the map packs.
They like that money, though.
Yeah, of course they do, but that doesn't justify it. That's all I'm saying.
Everybody
wants
much,
all the money
though.
In the world, but we can't just tell them, okay, well, in that case, you can do whatever you want.
So if you had to choose, would you choose in-game ads or would you choose map packs, basically?
I would choose neither. I would never be in a position that I'd have to
so
choose.
So here's my question, then. What can you change for free that keeps the interest high throughout the year? If you're not going to add content to multiplayer.
You can roll in new game mode. No, you can add content without having to spend tons of money on development or having to pretend you're spending tons of money on development
but what are
when
you
port old
what
maps.
Are you adding, though, is the thing. Because
you can add new game types. You can add new
game
modes. I
mean, that's
modes.
Like Grand Theft Auto Online, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you can add large amounts of new content. You can add microtransactions, which I don't give a crap. If somebody wants to be able to prestige to unlock everything, they need that microtransaction because... One of the reasons I hate the multiplayer is because I'm not going to put 40 hours into it till I can get a good gun and scope. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially the ones where you can't choose the order that you unlock stuff in.
They've actually they added that in Advanced Warfare. They have the advanced supply drops now that you can buy. I don't know what they cost, but they give you option for those guns so you can get the really good variants without plugging a bunch of time in there.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, that's how you do it. Put in microtransactions that are not pay to win, and that's how you support a game after it's been released.
I think that's a fair way to put it.
You know, the only danger there is I don't want to see microtransactions in my single player. You don't get to keep making money off of a single player game beyond word of mouth. Unless you want to release a major content pack and then ask me to pay. I will pay
$30. Like Witcher, right?
Yeah, I'll pay $30 for real DLC. Remember when we didn't have to use DLC? We could say expansions and they were the length of the original game. Does anyone remember Brood War or Tides of Darkness? Or
I don't,
you know,
but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Expansions were... I used to almost only play games that had expansions because you could trust that they were adding major things, like some of the Age of Empires games and stuff like that. It was huge amounts of content being added, and you could justify spending money again. They weren't saying, here, it's essentially the same arena but with different paint. Go and give, you know, pay us a quarter of the cost of the game again. I think that's the difference. How you do it properly is by having good content to add.
But the bottom line, I think, for them is they need – it's the same thing with Destiny. They need so much advertising to reach all these players, right?
Yeah, it's I think the pie chart breakdown is that they're supposed to spend at least 50 to 55% of the total budget on marketing.
And they know that people will spend it, and I think it comes down to that. And I agree with you, although – I'm going to start complaining, I guess, if it comes into The Witcher, if it comes into Dragon Age, if it comes into more single-player games like that.
Well, and we've seen it in some cases, but for the most part, you know, it's really multiplayer annual releases that it's a big concern in. Because, you know, you can have a bad DLC for a single-player game like the Dunwall Trials for Dishonored.
Yes, exactly.
And you can just not buy it because
I
know what you're...
It.
You don't feel like you're missing out in a single-player game by not playing a piece
of
DLC.
Or kind
of
like...
You know, I mean, I'm sure, Kyle, if all of your friends are playing the new map pack, you do feel like
that's
you're missing
out. That's why they
out.
Do it, right?
We all get it at the same time. That's why we play it together. And
but again,
we put enough hours into the content where it's worth it to us. But I totally get your point where it's not worth it in the end, but it's worth it when we played and put the hours into it at the time.
And I want to be clear that just because I don't like Call of Duty doesn't mean that I look down on it. You know, I think it's totally – if you're investing the time and having fun, I don't care what you're playing. I'm glad, and
but,
you should keep doing it.
But truthfully, I look at it this way. Like, you didn't purchase Dragon Age, right?
No.
Didn't purchase, not going to get The Witcher. No. So that's $120. Well, if you put $120 into the Call of Duty that you're playing at the time, I mean, I think that comes down to priority. I always say in college, I'd probably, if I was in college right now, I'd probably have Evolve and Mortal Kombat and put a ton of money into those. And I'm like, I'll go buy Witcher and stuff later. On when it's in a bargain bin. So I think sometimes it's allotting money. Now that I'm out of college and I play more individual games, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to play Call of Duty and I'll spend my money on Dragon Age and The Witcher.
Basically. It's all bang for your buck at the end of the day. If you want to play a great single player game, you put that money into The Witcher and get 250 hours of it. If you're going to play 6 days of Call of Duty, you're going to put all the money into that. So that's what it comes down to.
Do you think that it's reasonable, though, that, you know, I can pay $60 for, let's say, the Game of the Year edition of Skyrim, and I've gotten at least 1,500 hours out of that game? Do you think it's fair that you have to pay again and again to get the same amount of time out of a multiplayer game?
That's what I agree to pay.
I didn't ask if you agreed to do it or not. I asked if you think it's fair.
With the way I play it, it's exactly what I'm looking for.
That's not the question, though. Is it fair?
Probably not, but that's not. These companies don't run on fair. They run on...
No, but consumers spend money on fair.
Right, but if the consumer's not educating themselves and they're just sinking the money into it, or, you know, if they feel, you know, the money isn't an issue to them, then...
I mean,
you know,
hours are different, too. Hours playing a multiplayer game... I mean, it's hard. In a single-player game, you unlock new things. You have different dialogue. You unlock actual different... I mean, you kind of unlock different parts of the map. You were talking about Witcher, how you have to go into different sections, same with Dragon Age. I mean, in this sense, it's kind of similar. It's hard to... Hours playing a multiplayer game are different than hours played a single-player game. You know, multiplayer is more about competition, the your interaction is with other people, not the game or whatever, the dialogue.
And there's a great saying that's basically, you know... I don't know the exact quote, so I'm going to paraphrase here, but everything is more fun with your friends. Everything. Yeah. You could be sitting outside watching the grass grow, and it's a blast with four friends.
Have you done this before?
I mean, I've sat waiting for the bus with four friends, and it's a heck of a lot more fun than just waiting for the bus. But that doesn't mean that waiting for the bus is fun. It just means hanging out with my friends is fun.
Is it fair, though? I'm kidding.
I see what you did. Very clever.
I just think at the end of the day, everyone does their own cost analysis on each game. So, it's great that you have your Skyrims and your Witchers putting out hundreds of dollars of content. I can do my Call of Duties and plug in hundreds of hours on
the multiplayer. No, you can't, Kyle. You can't do it anymore. We're taking it away from you.
No, so I'm just saying it's up to everyone. From a standard perspective, no, it's not fair that the Witchers can give you 250 hours for $60. But at the end of the day, I want that Call of Duty experience, so I'll pay $60 for less hours to plug into it.
If they turned around and said, we're not doing map packs anymore, it's all included, though, you'd be okay. You'd be happy about that, right? Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure. I'm not trying
to
make you
happy with spending less money.
I'm just trying to make you. I know you're trying to make sure you don't say Call of Duty sucks or something, which I don't want you to say that. I'm just trying to get you to understand what I'm getting across here. That just because you are okay with paying for the map packs doesn't mean that they are acceptable or a good thing. It just means that you're willing to pay for
them.
They're
acceptable to me.
Yeah. And it is a personal preference. That's what it all comes back to. I mean, with anything that you talk about with an issue with a game or something that's overwhelmingly great about a game, it's all about the person playing it and how they feel about that game.
Hours you spend and stuff like that.
And where that time goes into it, it's very right.
Good God, can we move on?
Yeah. So Henry we'll let you actually take over.
Did we allocate that much time for Colin?
Hey, no, that was good. It was a good discussion.